हरिः ॐ सहनवतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सहवीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर श्रीवासरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
Paramatmasan Dharma Adhyayana 3, Adhikarna 3, the sameness of the universe and the Lord. Anucheda 63, Shamshaya. Why do things appear to be different from the Lord? Uttara. Abadhito pi hyabhaso yata vastu tayasmita. Durghatatvad aindriyakam. Tavad artha vikalpitam. Just as reflections, though not independent, are accepted as real, so objects perceived by the senses are accepted as independent, just because of difficulty in proving them otherwise. Srimad Bhagavatam 7.15.58. Udriti, Srila Prabhupada. The impersonalists try to prove that the varieties in the vision of the empiric philosopher are false. The impersonalist philosophy, Vivartavad, generally cites the acceptance of a rope to be a snake as an example of this fact. According to the example, the varieties within our vision are false, just as a rope seen to be a snake is false. The Vaishnavas say, however, that although the idea that the rope is a snake is false, the snake is not false. One has experience of a snake. In reality, therefore, he knows that although the representation of the rope as a snake is false or illusory, there is a snake in reality. Similarly, this world, which is full of varieties, is not false. It is a reflection of the reality of the Vaikuntha world, the spiritual world. The reflection of the sun from a mirror is nothing but light within darkness. Thus, although it is not exactly sunlight, without the sunlight, the reflection would not be possible. Or would be impossible. Similarly, the varieties of this world would be impossible unless there were a real prototype in the spiritual world. The Mayavadi philosopher cannot understand this, but a real philosopher must be convinced that light is not possible at all without a background of sunlight. Thus, the juggling of words used by the Mayavadi philosopher to prove that this world is false may amaze inexperienced children. But a man with full knowledge knows perfectly well that there cannot be any existence without Krishna. Therefore, a Vaishnava insists on the platform of somehow or other accepting Krishna. Tasmat kenap yupadyena mana krishne niveshayet. Srimad Bhagavatam 1.7.132. When we raise our unmixed faith to the lotus feet of Krishna, everything is revealed. Krishna also says in Bhagavad Gita 7.1, Maya sakta manaf parta yogam yunjan marashraya ashamshayam samagramam yata gyas yasi chach trinu. Now hear, O son of Prita, Arjuna, how by practicing yoga in full concentration of me, with mind attached to me, you can know me in full, free from doubt. Simply by raising one's staunch faith in Krishna and his instructions, one can understand reality without a doubt. Ashamshayam samagramam. One can understand how Krishna's material and spiritual energies are working, and how he is present everywhere. Although everything is not him, this philosophy of achinta bheda, inconceivable oneness and difference, is the perfect philosophy enunciated by the Vaishnavas. Everything is an emanation from Krishna. But it is not that everything must therefore be worshipped. Speculative knowledge cannot give us reality as it is, but will continue to be nefariously imperfect. So-called scientists try to prove that there is no God and that everything is happening because of the laws of nature. But this is imperfect knowledge because nothing can work unless directed by the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Srimad Bhagavatam 7.15.58 purport. Though completely negated, badhita, by contrary knowledge to be existing independently, a reflection of the sun, abhasha, is imagined by children to be an independent object, vastu taya, since it is seen to manifest separately. In the same way, fools imagine objects of the senses to be various independent objects. They cannot see the truth because of difficulty, durgavat, durgatatvat, though thinking the objects to be independent. Right? So it's very important here is that the thing that's reflected, its origin is real and the reflection is real, though the reflection is dependent upon the original. Right? So it actually exists, but saying that it is the sun fully, though it's not, means in other words, you see the reflection, it is the sun, but it's not the sun. So that principle is that's what's going on, because we can say, oh, okay, well, that's material. Spiritual is the opposite, right? Because we mentioned there's three states of basically a perception. There's going to be that of the gross matter, that of the platform of the mind, and that of negation, right? It means the opposite of the other two, right? No mind, no matter, right? So when you get frustrated with matter, then we go to the mind. And when we get frustrated with the mind, then we go to the opposite of nothing. So these three platforms, these are the philosophies all fit into this. It's either the karma they think that they can do, or gyan, or then it goes into nothingness. Right? So with the idea that spiritual must be something negative, then the material world is perceived in the way it is, and it doesn't work out. But the point is, the spiritual world, that's what's positive. Right? And so therefore, this is a reflection of that. But just as the reflection doesn't have all the qualities or effect, same way with the material world. Right? So that's why it's important, this aspect of Chinta Beta Beta Tattva, then the Satkaryavad, and then we have down to the Parinamavad. Right? So then we can see with that, all that is that, one is that it's the transformation of the energies, the other is that the cause is the most important aspect. Right? But then the Chinta Beta Beta Tattva shows that they're both simultaneously one and different.
Right. Yeah. Maharaj, Chinta Beta Beta Tattva is a two philosophy put together.
No, it's one philosophy. But it's the original.
But it is
no, don't do it that way.
Okay.
Why do it that way?
I try to.
You have a body and you have a head, so. I mean, the torso and the head. So then you are the body and head put together, or they came together?
Came together.
Yes, so that's the whole point. They come together. Achinta Beta Beta Tattva is the way it is. Right? Then you're going to describe aspects of it, so you're going to wonder how that's applied. So you're going to see the Satkaryavad. And then, but how does this manifestation take place if it's from the Lord? That's the Parinama, that Shakti Parinama. It's not that these two are put together, because then it's an ascending. No, it's a descending. That's the way it is. Then you bring down these sub principles to show how it's done. So that's the main.
Yes.
Within a Chinta Beta Beta Tattva, then you have all these others are there. It's original.
Yes.
Does that make sense? And so the Achinta Beta Beta Tattva. So it'll look like, okay, then you have those followers of the Vedas, but they're Karmakandiyas and they're not following very properly.
Yes.
right? Like that. So then it goes into Buddhism. Then it comes back into Shankara. Then you start to Ramanuja like this, and it comes up. And then there's Achintabheda-bheda. That's for us. That's how it's in. But the point is Achintabheda-bheda is first. It's the original. And then everything comes down. You know, just like, let's say, the Gayatris. You start at one and you go up to Kama Gayatri, but Kama Gayatri is the first one. It's the one, first one that manifests. All the others are expansions from that. Right? You know, Guru's representing the Lord. Lord Chaitanya is Krishna in the mood of Radharani. So that means if you have Kama Gayatri, it has all these others in it. Does that make sense? So then they expand from there. They manifest from there. Because if Achintabheda-bheda tattva is understood, you can just stop there. But if not, then you get then you bring in Satkaryavad and Parinamavad to explain, you know, so people can appreciate.
Yes, yes.
Does that make sense?
So these two philosophies can help to understand. Like
they can help, but they're not separate philosophies.
Yes, yes.
They're just details. You know, like I say, you have to put this thing on here on the mic to like that, and then you can. But you know, but why? Why do we need such a big bulky thing? The mic is so nice. Why do they? Because then it stops the air. But how does it stop the air? Then you have to explain the nature of this. So all they do is explain within Achintabheda-bheda tattva. It's not that you put these two together, then you get Achintabheda. No, Achintabheda-bheda tattva. These two are already part of that. Because we're always used to putting it this way, but it goes the other way. Yeah. Is that okay? Yeah, it's not like Khichdi. You put rice and dal and then you get Khichdi. You know? This is, no. It starts, then these two come out. Right? So there's Krishna, then his Shaktis, and that, and then they expand, and we can see. So, yeah.
There is this sun and reflection in many pots, in this example. In that, the argument comes is like sun is reflected in many pots. Now, the reflection which is not real sun, when that is over, ultimately only one sun exists. So only in reflection which is not real, one thinks that there are many suns. So how do we...
So what's the problem with that?
So they say then only in reflection which is not real this world, you think you are individual.
Really?
That's why that's...
Is the reflection existing? Yes. So what's the problem? It is the sun. Why? It means the sun's reflecting in pots and you look inside and then inside there's a potato or something.
That reflection is over, it's only one sun.
So? But are the reflections real? Yeah, so the point is you're saying, no, forget that part. Just when it's all that, there's only one sun. But the point is are those reflections real or not? Do they exist or not? They do. So then that throws out the whole philosophy. The philosophy is, no, those aren't real because there's only the sun. But they're there. The pot's there, the water's there, the reflection is there. They're all real things. Your eyes are there, you're seeing, your brain is there, thinking. All that's real. Because you have to know how to use an example. Because the example is giving you an idea. Right? So that's the whole point, is that you have to know how to use an example. You can't misuse an example. You know what I'm saying? The big shark ate the guy. And this politician here, I saw him put things into his mouth. So the shark put the scuba diver into his mouth. This guy put you know, a how you say, a fork of salad in his mouth. Therefore, this guy's a shark. And see, and then he's eating up everybody, and we're all going to be destroyed if he becomes the politician, right? Isn't that makes perfect logic? So you have to know how to use an example. What was the point here? Thus, the juggling of words used by the Mayavadi philosopher to prove that this world is false may amaze inexperienced children. But a man with full knowledge knows perfectly well that there cannot be any existence without Krishna. So choose your side. Does that make sense? You know, you say, oh, but then there's only the one pot. If I bring a pot back out, then? Will it be there again? So the whole point is that means it's dependent on the sun. It's not independent. But that's the whole point. They're thinking these are independent. So that's real. This is illusion. So if this is illusion and that's real, that means the reflection is independent from the sun. But unless the sun's there and it's that thing to reflect, then you don't get a reflection. So how is it independent of the sun? See, now if you had pots in your room, there's no sun, and now you see reflections in the pot of the sun. Now that's independent. So that's the whole point. They're taking the example out of context. It's showing the dependency, the reality, but the difference. The non-difference and the difference. Yes? No? Good.
I think Vishnu Chakravarti the court commenting on the Surat Canto, the teachings of Lord Kapila, which this poem is discussed, he goes even further. He says that the sun reflects in the water of the pot.
Mm-hmm.
And then this reflects on the wall.
Oh, yes, yes.
And then even that is real.
Yes.
It's just further down. Because the origin still is the sun.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to understand that even what we think is false is the matter of perception.
Mm-hmm.
But the origin has to be real. Otherwise, you know, illusion can function basically.
Yes, yes.
One illusion can reflect on the as the other.
Another illusion, yeah. Something that doesn't exist can't reflect, yeah. That makes sense. They cannot see the truth because of difficulty, Durga Tattvat, through thinking the objects to be independent. So that's the thing. They think the objects are independent. That's why they can't understand. Because you separate it off. Right? And then from that. So it's like that's the whole point of here. Mayavad philosopher. You're using that political point of divide and conquer. So you divide it off so it's independent, and then in this way you'll establish your philosophy. Yeah? Yes?
Can we say that when they say it's not real, they mean it's not tangible?
Like, no, they mean it doesn't exist. It's a complete figment of, like, nothing here exists. We don't exist, nothing here exists. It's all an illusion. I mean, it's just like, it's not there. It's just like, you know, the guy sitting in the, how you say, the, whatever they call it these days, the insane asylum or whatever, what's the politically correct term for
lunatic.
It?
Hmm? Lunatic asylum.
Lunatic asylum, yes, okay. That, then, a little more older, then, going back. In other words, they don't worry about these things. They, you know, a guy's crazy, he's crazy, you know. And so, he's sitting there talking to all kinds of people and stuff that don't, you know, everybody else are not there. So they're saying that's what we're doing. But the point is if that's what we're doing, what does it matter since we don't exist either? So that's the thing. They don't exist, but their existence, you know, their understanding that they're Brahman and all that is very important. Then they become Brahman. But the point, if they don't exist, Brahman is all there is. So the whole basis of the philosophy is self-centered. It's about the importance of themselves. Because Brahman's already Brahman. It's already pervading everywhere. And if there is somehow or another this illusion, then the point is we don't exist and what we're seeing doesn't exist, so it doesn't even matter. You know what I'm saying? It just doesn't matter. So what does it matter that there's this whole philosophy and this and sadhana? It doesn't absolutely matter at all. Because it doesn't matter what you do. The point is Brahman is Brahman. You know, and if Brahman is doing these things, you know, like that, when Brahman decides not to do these things, then it won't be happening. So it has nothing to do with us. It means like zero. But because, you know, they are jivas and all that, they are individually conscious, therefore then they have to function in that way. Right? They're conscious, they have knowledge of Brahman, and they have a taste in Brahman. And so those symptoms that they talk about, right? Because they talk about being conscious, that there's ultimately only consciousness. They talk about knowledge and cultivating knowledge, and they talk about developing Brahmananda. So those three things are the Satchitananda aspect of the soul. That's why they talk that. Otherwise, why don't they? If there's just illusion, why that? They could talk anything. You know. So So with all these, the intelligence is covered because there's no purity of thought that accepting the Lord and accepting our subservience to Him. Because that's their point. They don't want to accept subservience because they want to be God. Right? Because if being a jiva is illusion, and being in their idea, being Ishwara is also an illusion, why are they so intent on being called Ishwara? Being Ishwara, being called Ishwara. You know, it means that, you know, why that's better than something else. It's all illusion, so what does it matter? So you can see it's about them, and then they'll become. You put a drop of water in the ocean, and that drop will expand and become the ocean. But it won't. Right? The drop of water is there. You know, it has whatever it is, however many molecules of water it is, you can count them, and then you can count there's more in the ocean. So it'll be there. Those molecules don't merge. They're sitting there. They can be taken out again. You know, next time the sun comes out, they evaporate, and then they go off again. So the whole thing is this idea to control and enjoy. It's just, you know, the Mayavada, it's the taking the second stage, but actually in a hidden way professing the third. You know, the negative, the opposite. So they use the technique of the mind, but they're professing, you know, the negative, the opposite, nothing. Vritti. Having stated the reason for perception of duality in the material world is because of perception of variegatedness in the reflection of the original spiritual reality. Narad Muni further affirms that material creation is the perverted reflection of the spiritual world by proving the non-existence of the body as an independent object. Anucheta 64. This is explained in two verses. Chityadinam itartanam chaya na kati mapiti. Nasangato vikaro pi na pritan nan vito mishaha. The body made of the five elements is neither a combination of the elements or nor a whole with the elements as its parts, since it is not completely separate and not intimately connected with them. Thus the body and the world are illusory. Srimad Bhagavatam 7:15-59. So the illusory means we're an illusion about what it is. It's real, because that's the previous one, is established as reality. But now, based on that reality, we're an illusion on what it is, actually is.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. How can we, since one of the main aspect is how we perceive things. No?
Mm-hmm.
So how can we have a real perception of things?
Through scripture. That's the point. Through Shabda, then we have the actual perception. Because that's the whole point of the epistemology, is to establish how do you actually understand what things are, what's reality. So then you have Shabda, Anuman, and Pratyaksha. Through the senses, you can see things and perceive things, but because of the imperfection of the senses, there's going to be mistakes. And then with the Anuman, with the mental speculation, then you see, again, there's going to be mistakes because of the nature of the mind. It accepts and rejects based on our impressions. So, according to my desire, you know, means the living entity, then the mind is going to accept and reject things. So it's not necessarily going to be truth. While then Shabda, then we're hearing from the qualified personalities. And those personalities then are pointing out the, you know, the absolute truth. Krishna is giving in that, that Veda is apurusheya, it's not given by a person. So there's no. And then these liberated personalities are giving direction. Right? So then Shabda becomes the way. So Shastra Chakshu, seeing through the eyes of Scripture. That's how we see. And we approach that through the Parampara. So Shastra Chakshu means seeing things according to Shastra as given to us by the Acharyas. Does that make sense? Then we can see things properly. So you can see how everything is Krishna, how it's dependent on Krishna, but Krishna is independent from his energies. Right? Means he as a person exists. He's in control of the energies. But there's a non-difference. So that way, then we're not worshipping things. Everything's Krishna, but that doesn't mean we start worshipping, you know, the fan over there or something like that. Because the point is anything of value of the fan is coming from Krishna. So the person is who's being worshipped. That's why you don't have to worship demigods or anything else. You worship Krishna, everything is taken care of. You don't have to worship the planets. You don't have to worship the demigods. You know, does that make sense? You don't. None of these have to be worshipped. You worship Krishna and see how everything's there. Then he being everything, you have technically worshipped everything. Well, if you just worship the demigod or this or that, you've only worshipped that one part. What about the other, you know, 33 million? You know, and that's just demigods. What about everything else? So by worshipping Krishna, you've worshipped everything. By worshipping individual items, you haven't, because they're not independent. Does that make sense? Yes?
Just to make clear, is this epistemology, is it the same as pramana? Like,
yeah.
It's the same.
It means what is your evidence? Epistemology are methods to establish pramana. Like modern pramana. You know, is I feel like it. And as long as I am, you know, politically correct, my feelings are authority. But if I'm not politically correct, my feelings are totally bogus. You know what I'm saying? So that's you have to have some place where it's there. So this is then what is given in the Veda. It comes from the Veda. Right? Then you can apply the intelligence on analyzing that to see how it fits into what you see with your senses. Right? Because what you see with your senses, you're going to analyze that according to your samskaras. You know, say whatever you want about the modern idea of objective, you know, perspective or the academic method. It's all subjective. Top to bottom, left to right, front to back, like that. It's all. No exception. So then the problem comes is they see it this way. Because if it was so perfect, then why is it after 10 years they say, before we thought like this, now we know. Yes. That just proves that whatever it is, because whatever they're saying today, after 10 years they'll throw that out. So then why are we taking it so seriously? That's the difficulty. So therefore, you have to hear from those that are beyond the modes of nature. And so that has to be based on Shastra, heard from those beyond the material nature. That's why we're hearing about Narad Muni's instruction to Yudhishthir. They're beyond. So what they're speaking, that will be reality. Does that make sense? Yeah, so then that becomes established. So then you have the proper understanding how you approach. So from Shabda, so when I see something, I'll see it according to my own way of seeing. But if the Shastra says this is what it is, then I will look in that way. And then, with time, by analyzing this and that, then I'll start to see, oh, yes, that's the way it is. Does that make sense? So, that's the whole point, is the Shastra says it's like this. We may say no, but in reality, that's the way it is. So we may like it, we may not like it, it doesn't matter. That's the way it is. You know, like for the kids, it's time to go to school in the morning. They don't like it, but that's the way it is. You know, so that's the whole thing, is that it's just, there are the realities given by Krishna. And so then Shastra then shows us that, and we get that connection through Guru. Right? So then the Acharyas, they reveal these, what's in the scriptures. Because you can read the scripture, you want to understand it. Or very minimal. But you hear from Parampara, then you understand, because then the chit potency is there. Because otherwise, we're working with avidya. And through from avidya shakti, the conditioned soul with avidya shakti, he won't know. Even though within avidya shakti, he's using so-called knowledge. But it's knowledge of within avidya. So it's already imperfect. Right? So those that are beyond that, who are dealing with the actual original Vidya Shakti, they can say things as they are. We may say it's the opposite. You know, it's just like, okay, let us say, you know, let's just, how you say, as how you know, such a perfect example, right? So we had the French Revolution. Okay?
Like the foot.
Yeah. Where else are you going to start, right? So now, you have Robespierre and his boys, and you have Louis, right? Now, Robespierre didn't exactly win. His people won. He lost also. And Louis lost. So now it's all written how they were the bad guys and these revolutionaries are the good guys. What if Louis had won? Then all these guys would have been bad guys. Right? Does that make sense? In other words, if it was Louis XIV, he would have won, and all these guys would have been the bad guys. They would have been the traitors and all these things like that. But, no, it worked out this way. So that's the whole point, is that history is written by the victors. Right? It means, I will learn this, that these wonderful, educated, qualified, you know, super fabulous, you know, individuals, then they got on their boats and they sailed across the ocean blue, and then they bumped into a landmass there, and then they colonized it and educated everybody and brought it up to the nice European standard, you know, means only enough that you exploit it like that. You want it to be enough that they don't kill you, but not so much that they take over. And so like that, and so it was a fabulous thing. They went out, they conquered the world, they expanded like that, expanding knowledge, expanding everything, and so it's fabulous. But now if history was written by the locals there in the Americas, they might have a slightly different story, that these guys got off a boat. As it is probably when they came from Spain, in Spain they never took a bath, let alone being on a boat and sweaty for the last 3 months. Then they get off. These guys are just walking disease. And as soon as they step onto the land there, half the population dies from disease. You know, they make it sound like, yeah, we went in there and we conquered because of our superior. No, because half the population died. That's why they conquered. Literally. You know, 30 guys get off a boat with muskets, they have one shot. And there's a few hundred guys with bows and arrows that they can shoot all day. Who's going to win? Right? No question. It's simply half the population dies out and the other half doesn't know what's going on. Then they come in and take over because they're still alive. You know, they're walking around and not bothered and they're all, no, like this and that. They must be superior. You know, that's like the rats coming and taking over. Yeah? They don't get sick, you know.
And also I heard these guys on the boat, they were the prisoners who were sent on.
Yeah, it means the head guy might not be, but everybody else is. So, I mean, you just see how they behave. Bad. They just go in, kill everybody, steal everything, do everything like that. And somehow or another, they're glorious, you know, monotheistic, you know, superior race. You know what I'm saying? So that's just the thing. It's how history is written by the thing. So there's no such thing as the facts in the modern academy. You know what I'm saying? Because that's not the point. It's how you're going to interpret it. So that's why then we have to hear from Shastra. With Shastra Chakshus, then we can see where were they qualified, where were they weren't. That they were monotheistic, that is a better position. But their range and understanding of monotheism was not very developed. So they are serious Kanistotic artists. And because of that, then they still function on the bodily platform and made so much trouble because of that. And because of that, then people can't get a proper grip, you know, in the contemporary environment that these people are, you know, are really serious. You know, that what they're dealing with is serious and can answer questions. Because they don't know enough of the philosophy. At the same time as, you know, they deal in such pride because you're supposed to be humble. You know. So that's the whole thing, is that they respect those who are humble, but they themselves having accepting to be followers or surrendering to these people, they become the most proud. Right? It was Jesus up there on the cross there, you know, just speaking all kinds of bad language all day about how stupid they are and everything? No? You know? What about John the Baptist? No? You know? Moses? Isaac, Abraham, no. But the people who follow them are the most proud. That if you're not what we are, you deserve to die. It's like, did they do that? Abraham went around and killed everybody. Moses went around and killed everybody. You know, Jesus went around and killed everybody. No, but then they think, yes. Like, so the thing is they're not actually understanding the process and how to follow. Even though they may have an entrance into, their application is bad. And so we see their hygiene, their personal dealings, all this and that. Certain aspects are sophisticated, but it'd be like you have this super sophisticated environment. You know, like let's say you have this house all done and, you know, just fabulous, but it's full of cats. And that's all that lives there. So the thing is, there's no culture on certain levels. So that's the whole thing. So the Shastra shows where the strength is, where there's not. You know? The locals, they were living with the land, this and like that, respecting and that, dealing like this in certain ways. But how high they understood on the level of the theism, they didn't have. These others have a higher theism, but the culture is very low. These other ones had some more culture, like this. Now, of course, one's more sophisticated, one's less. So all these things, you judge by scripture what is useful, what's not. Otherwise, some will say, they're the ones, all these guys are, you know, the natives are useless. Others say, no, it's the natives are the real thing, all these others are useless. No, you take what's useful from the place, and what's not useful, you leave. So only by Shastra, then we can understand. So that's why it is the basis. So that's why Praman then has to be based on Shastra. It can't be based on something else. Having heard Shastra, then you contemplate, you can see it with your senses practically, then that means now you've realized it. Right? Or at least a solid understanding, practical working understanding. Does that make sense? But you can't start somewhere else. It can't bring you to that. Right. Does that make sense? just, it can't. It's blocked by Maya. That's her job. You know, anything inductive will be blocked. Because you've started without Krishna, how will you get to Krishna? You start with Krishna, then you can see everything. But if you start with your method without Krishna, how that will bring you to Krishna? Which direction do you go? Right? There's 10 directions. So, yeah. Okay.
But Maharaj, it seems that in the Western country we are by default against Shastra.
It means the living entity in the material world by default tends to be against Krishna. And so Shastra is one of the forms of Krishna in the material world.
Yes.
And so we, you know, we... It, that's the inherent thing. So that's why it's only by, you know, the proper cultivation. So if you have it in the ideal, you have parents who they themselves appreciate, then through proper samskara, then these children are raised and trained, then they have that kind of understanding. So that's why then you see is Srila Prabhupada is trying, you know, recommends this kind of education, because other educations, they're only meant for staying in the material world. You ask, why do you do this? Oh, because they can get a degree, and with that, and why do you need a degree? Then you can get a job. So it has nothing to do with spiritual life. Right? And if you ask, okay, well, how is that going to support their spiritual life? They can't really be said, well, you know, without money you can't live. And it's kind of like, then how is it so many people are living that don't have money? Maybe you can't live the particular lifestyle you want and all that. It might be a little more simple. But the point is Krishna's taking care. That's not being seen. So if that's what you want to do as an occupation, that's fine, but that doesn't mean that the other training and all that can't be there. That's then the importance of that, why the ashram is higher, is because then in the ashram aspect, then at least there you're getting all the nice training. Right? So in the Vedic system, you would get both in one education. Right? So the point is you do the best you can, but you have to understand what is reality. What is real knowledge? The other things, yes, they're mechanical knowledge that is useful for someone who's doing some, you know, technical application. Right? You know, you're saying, you know something about computers and all that, you just know mechanics. You'll go work for a company, well, they'll put you under a supervisor who tactically engages you. Right? Under, then someone who runs the whole concern for the purpose of making profit. And that's why you get paid. So if you're getting a degree to get a job, that means you're buying into that the goal is money. And so that if that's all you have, then you do that. But if you have Krishna consciousness, why would you settle just for that? Why not all these other things? And you can say, oh, we can learn those later. No, okay, you learn those later, but is that a good thing? Are you happy with all the impurities and some scars in your heart from, you know, 10, you know, 15, 20, 30 years of material life, you know, that you're conscious of before joining Krishna consciousness? Is that like a super, super support for you when you chant japa? Then, you know, it really helps in meditating on the holy name, remembering all the nonsense that you did before, right? So why not start from the beginning clean? So then why would you want to do that? You know, I did that and I became a devotee. That was you, by Krishna's mercy. Why would you want your kids to go through that? That would be like the parent who's a billionaire and then, you know, his kid grows up poor. Well, I started on the street. I had nothing. My parents died when I was, you know, six. I had to go to the, you know, work and this and that, and I made myself the billionaire, so he should do the same. Where's the compassion? Where's the kindness? Where's the personal relationship? So then that's what we're dealing with nowadays. parents think, I went through it and I'm fabulous, so therefore my kids will go through it and they'll be fabulous. And of course they'll be fabulous. But the problem is they're fabulous will be different from your fabulous, and you'll die in an old age home. Alone. Why? Because they're going to do their own fabulous thing. And they couldn't care less about your fabulous. So that's what you have to understand. But the Vedic thing is no, the culture shouldn't change like that. The culture that the parents have, that should be handed down to the kids, handed down to the grandkids, down like this. And so one culture continues. And you can say, you know, it's not possible, but why is it still the burnt remnants that they're still quoting Mahabharata this 5,000 years, same culture. So India is known. It's the old like that. China also. Their culture goes way back. People have tried to adjust it, get rid of it, this and that, but it's still somehow another. But in the West, yeah, where are the Romans? Right? You know, where are those people walking around in togas? It's all gone. You know, and before them it was the Etruscans. You know, where are they? So it's just the culture keeps changing. Or you have the Fertile Crescent. You know, you had the Sumerians. They're gone. Then you had the, I think it was the Babylonians, I think. Then they're gone. Then the Assyrians, unless it's the other way around. Assyrians, then Babylonians, one or the other. I don't remember which is which. And now you just have something else. So it's just the culture keeps changing. But the Vedic concept is that the Vedic culture, it's given by Krishna, is perfect. Why you wouldn't hand it down? And if you're going to hand it down, you start from the beginning. Hence, the book starts in the beginning. Yes. Is that... Okay. Udriti, Srila Prabhupada. A forest is certainly a transformation of the earth, but one tree does not depend on another tree. If one is cut down, this does not mean that the others are cut down. Therefore, the forest is neither a combination nor a transformation of the trees. The best explanation is given by Krishna himself. By me, in my unmanifested form, this entire universe is pervaded. All beings are in me, but I am not in them. Bhagavad Gita 9.4. Everything is an expansion of Krishna's energy. As it is said, Parasya Shaktir Vividhaiva Shruyate. Chaitanya Charitamrita Madhya Lila 1365 Purport. The Lord has multi-energies, which are expressed in different ways. The energies are existing, and the Supreme Personality of Godhead also exists simultaneously. Because everything is his energy. He is simultaneously one with everything and different from everything. Thus, our speculative theory is that Atma, the living force, is a combination of matter, that matter is a transformation of the soul, or that the body is part of the soul, are all insubstantial. Since all the Lord's energies are simultaneously existing, one must understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But although he is everything, he is not present in everything. The Lord must be worshipped in his original form as Krishna. He can also present himself in any one of his various expanded energies. When we worship the deity of the Lord in the temple, the deity appears to be stone or wood. Now, because the Supreme Lord does not have a material body, he is not stone or wood, yet stone and wood are non-different from him. Thus, by worshipping stone or wood, we get no result. But when the stone and wood are represented in the Lord's original form, by worshipping the deity, we get the desired result. This is supported by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's philosophy, Achinta Veda Veda, which explains how the Lord can present himself everywhere and anywhere in a form of his energy to accept service from the Lord. Srimad Bhagavatam, from the devotee, excuse me. Srimad Bhagavatam 7:15-59 per point. So, means the forest is coming from the earth, but it's not that the tree itself makes the forest, right? Or that the forest is independent from each other or from the earth, right? So the Lord, the Lord Himself, He's what is the forest. He's the earth, he's the tree, he's the group of trees. Right? So then all that's him. So when you understand that, all these other things then, all these secondary, these are even more farther down, tertiary understandings of the philosophy are become regulated. Because one sees him in his proper position of how it's the Lord. So one has to see from that side.
Yes, yes.
Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah? Huh? Yeah. Yeah, but that's very, very far out, the Prabhupada's giving this example. Yeah, so here, body made of the five elements is neither a combination of the elements, nor a whole with the elements as its parts, since it is not completely separate and not intimately connected with them. Thus the body and the world are illusory. Right? So that'll be the point of what Prabhu was mentioning, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. You have the sun, your reflection in water, that then shines into the room, onto the wall. So our body, our things, what we're doing, that's what's on the wall.
Yes.
What's in the water pot, that's the material world.
Yes.
Right? Then there's the sun.
Yes.
So the thing is it's made up of these things, but at the same time it's not. When you say my body is earth, water, fire, air, and ether, it's not the whole earth, water, fire, air, and ether. They're separate. So that means it's non-different from, but at the same time it doesn't represent the whole thing. Can I make it 6 more minutes? So in other words, what we're being led through is trying to change our vision. Right? We're used to seeing things in one particular way, you know, in an inductive way. But the deductive means you can see all this at once. In the inductive, I see this, or I see that, or I see this. And they're different disciplines. But in the Vedic, they're all one discipline. They may have different details within them. But the principle, sense of the Satkaryavat, it has the same principles. It doesn't matter which of the 14 books you're studying, they all have the same principles. Just sometimes because the element that's within it is more obviously connected with the original, it may use the same term. But at the same time, it's because it may be, you know, the external form may be quite different, therefore it's given a different name. And we think, therefore, it's something completely different. But it's dependent on that. Though it may, at the same time, it is different. So that's the thing. The trees certainly came from the ground, but at the same time, the trees are there, and one tree doesn't depend on another tree, and one tree is not the whole ground. All the trees are not the ground. Right? Trees are only made out of earth, but they're there, and the earth is still there. You know, so as he said, you cut down one tree, it's not that the forest is finished, or one tree is a forest. Right. So, the body made of five elements, seen as one object by the intelligence, chaya, is not a mere collection of items, sangata, not a whole having parts, vikaraha, and not a transformation of elements. Right? It means the elements, the earth is still earth. Right? It is not a collection of items such as a forest made of trees. Interesting, right? Prabhupada's purport. You know, that's being quoted by Jiva Goswami here in Prabhupada's purport in the Bhagavatam. He's making the same point. So that's what I'm meaning is when Prabhupada says everything's in his books, that is a direct literal statement. It's not that it's not there. It's just we won't see it. Now, we've seen this example, you know, before, like, you know, like this and that. But it doesn't mean anything. Now we're seeing, oh, this is what Prabhupada's talking about. Like that.
Like that, we can see that the acharya, they're the same thing.
Yes. They always. There's never any disagreement or contradiction or misunderstanding. Never. And if someone says there is, that they're the one in illusion, the one saying it.
Also, Jiva Goswami wrote Krama Sandarbha, where all these points in that particular verse come in that order.
Okay.
And then that was translated earlier.
Okay, so then these points means wherever is the okay, and then these the same purports will be in the Bhagavatam.
Yes.
Same explanations. Yeah.
So wherever that point makes like sense to us, yeah. Then Prabhupada mentioned. Otherwise.
Yeah. So Prabhupada is also, the way he words it, it will make sense. Because these things you're going to say, oh, now I understand. When it, you know, Jiva Goswami, that's what Prabhupada is saying. But unless Prabhupada had said it, you wouldn't understand this. That's the whole thing. It is not a collection of items such as a forest made of trees, since pulling the body in one place pulls the whole body. If one pulls one tree, the whole forest is not pulled. The body is also not a newly made whole, transformed out of parts or elements, vikaraha, footnote 6. This is Arambhavat of the Vaisheshikas. The gross atom combined into a new form, the whole made of parts. Right? So that's why it's mentioning that, because it's not Vaisheshika. Right? So we're saying it's the whole made of parts, but then that means the whole can be broken down into parts. But the point, the whole remains. Earth remains. It means you have the coverings on the universe, everything's made out of stuff, it's still there. Earth remains. Krishna unlimited can produce unlimited earth. So it's not that you have used up all the earth. What to speak of it being transformation of Prakriti? Api, footnote 7. This refers to Prakriti Parinama. Objects result from a transformation of the effect in latent form in a subtle cause, Prakriti, into material objects like mind and pot. Right? So the whole point is these things are there, but it's not a separate item. It's still, the pot is still clay. Your mind is still part of the greater mind. It's still part of Krishna. Because earth is still part of Krishna. Right, so if you just look at it just on the mechanical, it means hard to. But if you take it all the way back to Krishna, it's not all of it because it's just Krishna. It's not a part. It doesn't pull the whole thing. Something happens to one individual, doesn't happen to the rest of society. But at the same time, as the laws given by Krishna affect, and people work under that, and so it goes back to Krishna. So the whole point is you're supposed to take it all the way back to Krishna. Well, all these others, they get so complicated because they only take it back to Pradhan. And that's then the problem. Why? Is the newly produced whole, the body, separate from the elements? No. A transformation separate from the elements? No. Because you can say it's a transformation, but it's still, is it separate? No. So the elements are still there. Or is it inseparably related to the elements? It does not appear to be completely separate, pitak, right? So it's not that your body represents all elements now. It does not appear to be completely separate, pitak, from the parts, nor does it appear to be intimately related to the parts, anvitav. Does the whole body exist in every part? If so, one would understand the whole body in a finger. Is the body spread partially at each part? This would lead to an unstable condition of dividing the body into infinite parts. Thus, the situation of the body as independent object is false. So it's not independent from the elements. But at the same time, it doesn't represent all the elements. And it's being there, it's not a transformation of the elements because the elements remain. Right? Earth, water, fire, they remain even though your body is there. So that makes sense. So. Om Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai.